When it comes down to it, most of life is about our relationships and our shared sense of community. Of course, that applies to our family, our friends, and our neighbors, but also to the people who are homeless and struggling with addictions. This may surprise you, but the simple solutions of handouts, bailouts, and housing don't create lasting change. Building relationships, living in community, and knowing Jesus are what truly change lives. Jonathan Anderson, the executive director of the Good News Rescue Mission here in Redding, California, has decades of experience creating the deeper relationships and true community that help solve homelessness and addiction problems. Now here's Jonathan Anderson with Justin Wandrow.
Hello, I'm Justin Wandrow, the Director of Development at the Good News Rescue Mission. And today with me, as always, is Jonathan Anderson, the Executive Director from the Mission.
Good morning.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for another podcast. We are recording again from the Redding Library, the Studio C at the Redding Library. And we are happy to be able to share with you. Thank you for taking the time to put our voices into your ears today. And so what we're going to be talking about today is something that connects very strongly with, I believe, our guests and our students who we see at the Good News Rescue Mission, but really also everybody in the community. We're going to be talking about trauma and experiencing trauma and the importance of community when you are experiencing, going through, and really healing after something traumatic happening in your life. So, Jonathan, I don't know exactly where you want to start with this. I know you had thought about some of this and you wanted to bring some things up. So I'm going to let you kind of give an introduction. When we talk about trauma, what are we talking about? What does that mean exactly?
So I think we're really talking about who first, who is exempt from trauma. And, you know, there's so many people who just walk this life. And we experience so many things happening in our life. Sometimes those are great things, but sometimes we experience stuff that is hard. We have these trials, these tribulations, and depending on the severity and nature of those, they might induce something in us that is traumatic. And so who is exempt from trauma? Is anyone exempt? Who are the people that are most at risk of trauma? And then at the same time, does trauma cause homelessness? And that's a real big one that we need to talk about. But, you know, we assume in society a lot that, you know, there's very well-to-do people in our society. And, hey, if you've got everything together, you're really well-to-do, you must not experience any type of trauma. Or if you do, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, I'll just tell you flat out right now. We had somebody at the Good News Rescue Mission who was homeless, had spent, I think, about 5 years homeless. And after talking with them, found out he's a medical doctor.
Yeah.
How does a medical doctor become homeless, right? And it was fascinating to hear his story and realize that it was a tremendous amount of stress and traumatic events surrounding his life that led to a series of events which caused him to ultimately wind up homeless. You know, I mean, that's something that a lot of people in our community all over don't really perceive, that, you know, a doctor would wind up homeless. You know, we generally look at homelessness and we have a different idea in our head of who that is and why they became homeless, you know?
Yeah, because we think of really, I think we think about homelessness from a financial perspective.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, well, if you're homeless, it's because you don't have money. And that's definitely a part of it, but that's often not the root cause of it. It's just a symptom of something bigger and something more traumatic.
Yeah, and we talk so much about community, right? And so for me, when you are enduring and facing trauma, what role does community play, right? And so, yeah, I think you know, we need to talk about this. And so for the people who are listening right now, first thing I would just ask is, can you identify events in your own life that have been traumatic, and how did you handle that? How did you deal with that? How did you get through it, right? And so what is trauma to begin with? So, you know, we have vets who go to war and they come back and they're suffering from something we call PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, right? And what does that actually do to a person's brain? What does that do to their character? Can you control that? Can you get through that? You know, when we survey our population at the mission, it is about 20 or 22% of the people that we're dealing with who are homeless are veterans. 22%, a quarter of the homeless in our community right here are combat veterans. You don't generally think about that, right? Sometimes you see the guy panhandling on the side of the street that says, you know, he's wearing the hat that might say he's a veteran or something. You wonder, is that even true?
Yeah.
Well, hey, at least a quarter of our population, yeah, they're combat veterans. And we even know which wars that they fought in, where they served. I mean, it's crazy. You know, and these people, they were honorably discharged. Like, that's amazing. How did they become homeless? This is really close to my heart. Two particular reasons. I mean, one, right now today, we just learned that one of our longest standing members at the Good News Rescue Mission just passed away last night, Pastor Dave Honey. You know, he spent 23 years at the Good News Rescue Mission.
Wow.
This man, he devoted his life to helping and serving. He touched so many. Right now, we have to identify that is a traumatic situation for everybody who has loved this person.
Yeah.
He has positively impacted so many lives, and to learn that he's just passed away is a form of trauma in so many of our lives. So we have a role to steward those emotions with our employees who are now experiencing some form of trauma. And how do you deal with that trauma? Another event, my wife and I, our youngest son, Liam, 4 years old, was experiencing pretty severe headaches back in January, and we didn't know what it was. And so after a series, a long time of test after test after test, we finally got the notice that, you know, he did not have any cancer. He did not have any tumors. That was amazing, such a relief. And what it was is his skull had fused together too early, which was preventing his brain from being able to grow. It was causing tremendous amount of pressure. And so we had phenomenal brain surgeon, phenomenal plastic surgeon who wanted to operate. And, you know, that road leading up to that was very, very traumatic. I mean, as a parent, you're always thinking the worst. What's going to happen, you know? We had amazing community surrounding us that helped carry us through. But I'll tell you, the weekend right before his surgery, we're heading down to Children's Hospital in Oakland, and we get a call from the brain surgeon. He says, "Hey, look, we've got to postpone the surgery." I'm like, "Whoa, what's going on?" Well, the plastic surgeon just passed away. The depth of emotion that we felt in that moment,
yeah,
was literally unexplainable. I've never felt emotion that deep in my soul. I can't explain that emotion. There's no words. It was an experience that my wife and I both felt, but we don't know what that was. It was unreal. It's unbelievable. Your son is about to go through this major operation, and you're preparing for that, and then one of the surgeons passes away. Like, what in the world is going on? Are we doing the right thing? Should our son even be going through this surgery? And so we had to prolong the surgery 2 weeks. And then we finally go down. And I'll tell you, we were a wreck. Like, we did not give ourselves time to even stop and think and process what we were doing. We're just going through this, knowing that, hey, we have to push through. We have to push through. And it was a 9-hour surgery. Like, those 9 hours of waiting and trusting in the unknown, I can't explain the depth of the emotion there. I don't know how a parent could go through that alone. Like, that's crazy. There was a woman in that waiting room with us who her son was going through his 6th surgery, and her husband had just passed away less than a year prior, and she's there alone. How does a person make it through that? the depth of emotion that you experience is unreal. It is unbelievable. For my wife and I, like, this was never for us a test of our faith or a test of our trust in God. Like, that is so solid. That's our foundation. What this was an eye-opener to us of the necessity of community. All of the friends, all of the family who would send us a text and say, hey, I'm with you. As you walk through this, I'm with you. We're right here. To me, they embodied the heart and the love of God in a way that we would not have had without community. It was tangible. It was physical. People were present. My brothers came down and sat with us during the day of the surgery, right? That type of community is what kept us going through. When we got back from this surgery, my wife and I are finally laying in bed. Our son, who was on a tremendous amount of both oxycodone and morphine, we had to start weaning him off, and we weren't prepared. Like, we knew there'd be severe swelling in his face, his head, all this. Like, the surgery was phenomenal. Everything went so well. His recovery was so rapid. But when we get home, our 4-year-old son begins to go through opiate withdrawals. We weren't ready for that. I mean, nobody prepared us for that. How do you? To watch a 4-year-old go through an opiate withdrawal is, words can't express. They can't explain that. The things he would do when he woke up in the middle of the night. I mean, he legitimately, anytime he would wake up at night screaming, we'd walk in there and he thinks that people are killing him. He just keeps saying, stop killing me, stop killing me. Like, that's a 4-year-old. The trauma that he is experiencing is now the trauma that we are experiencing with him. Wow, that is so heavy. The weight of that is so, so deep. It's so serious. I will tell you with full confidence, if my wife and I did not have the profound community that we have, the support that we have from our community, we would never make it through that. I don't know how a person does. We would. Think about, for people listening, think about in your own lives, where do you see trauma in either your life or someone else's? I mean, nobody is exempt from this. Man, I watch people go through struggling marriages. Who doesn't? Everybody does. But then it winds up to a point where some people are going through a divorce. You know how traumatic that is? I mean, people buying their first home, that's a joyous event. But you know that's actually traumatic too.
Yeah.
There's trauma involved right there.
Oh, yeah.
People buying their first car. There's actually a little bit of trauma in that too. There's excitement, but there's some trauma too. Like, there's some unknowns that you walk through and you don't know what the other side of that unknown looks like.
Yeah.
You know, this medical doctor that I met, he watched a lot of things happen in the medical community that were very traumatic. And at first he dealt with those very well and he had a great community. But over time, the stress of the job distanced him from his community. And as it distanced him from his community, it also distanced him from his wife. And eventually they went through a divorce. He had nobody there to help carry him through that. And as a result, he went to self-medicating and he started drinking. And eventually the drinking spiraled out of control and he wound up homeless. And then he wound up at the Good News Rescue Mission. How does a medical doctor wind up homeless? Well, that's how. There was this high-stress environment with trauma that eventually caused him to spiral out of control with his drinking. And that was a highly traumatic event. We see people all the time at the mission who did not have the community surrounding them that could help them through these aspects of trauma. When you look at our military veterans, so many, they have spent so much time overseas, high stress, high impact environment, tremendous amount of trauma happening, and you push through, you just push through, and you get the job done, and you do it well. But then when you come back, well, we're not really a military environment, and now you're around people that don't know what you just went through. They can't process that with you. And so many feel like they are utterly alone. And how do they explain that to friends and family? They can't. And a lot of times they feel like, well, I don't want to burden you with that. Or sometimes it was events that was so traumatic, I don't want to relive and revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to this loneliness, this isolation, this distancing yourself from other people. The community is no longer there. And now you just realized, I'm homeless. I've got nobody. For me, homelessness is not a lack of a house. Homelessness is a poverty within you. It's a poverty within your soul. There's so many people who live in a home, but in the depth of their soul, they're impoverished.
Mm-hmm.
They're deeply, deeply impoverished because inside they're alone. They have nobody. That is the necessity of community. Nobody here, nobody I know, is exempt from traumatic events. How you deal with those events, how you process that, in the depth of community surrounding you to help you through that, to me, that's what the make it or break it is. It really is. I've seen this every day that I'm at the mission. Everybody who comes to us has this one point or multiple points of traumatic events that they can pinpoint and say, that's where it started, that's where it began. And who was there to help you through it? No one. Or sometimes it was, well, there was somebody, but they preyed upon me. And that went bad. That mm-hmm. went south. And now I don't trust people as a result. Wow. You know, this isn't new. This isn't some revelation. In our communities, we even talk about something called ACE score, yeah. Adverse Childhood Experiences, right? We in Shasta County have extremely high ACEs scores. There's a litmus test that shows all of these adverse childhood experiences you can have at a very young age. And the higher you score, the more likely you are to, you know, have an incredibly difficult life. Most of the people with extremely high ACEs scores will wind up homeless.
Yeah, and that ACEs, that's basically, it's a traumatic event.
It's all
traumatic. Traumatic things that have happened to you while you were a child.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you could even call it a traumatic childhood experience as adverse childhood experience. I mean, that's what it is. Replace the term. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And so these highly traumatic events that happen, and the higher you score on this litmus test, the harder it will be for you. And we realize that in psychology. We see that. How do you help someone through that? Incredibly healthy, positive community. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't realize that what my wife and I just experienced was trauma. And coming out of it, once we finally got to process, it was like, wait a minute. Like, we just went through what? We just did what? Like, how did we even handle that? You know, I mean, we didn't think about it. We just pushed through. And at the end, it was like, oh my gosh, we need to give ourselves time, space. I'm so glad that before this surgery, you know, I had the foresight to be able to say, you know, I feel like we're going to come into something pretty, pretty heavy. I don't know what to expect, so I need to clear my plate. And our team at the mission is so great. They're phenomenal. And I was able to take, you know, everybody who would say, hey, Jonathan, can you come speak at our event, you know, in October? Hey, Jonathan, can you come speak at our church in November? Jonathan, can you come speak here? And I was able to say, look, I'm sorry. Our son's going to be going through a surgery. I don't know what to expect afterwards. Can Justin go speak for you? And hey, yeah, sure. Just the ability to know, hey, there's going to be a traumatic event happening. I identify that. How am I going to prepare myself in the aftermath? Take as much responsibility off of my plate as possible. Pass off as much work as I can so I can have time to really think and process through what I'm going to be going through. If our team at the mission wasn't able to do that, gosh, I'd have to go from our son doing a 9-hour brain surgery straight into doing speaking engagements. There's no way, right? Yeah. I wouldn't be able to. I would literally burn out. I couldn't last. Our team carried me through. Our community carried me through. They gave me the space to be able to process through all of that, you know? A lot of people, I'll say this, you know, when you know you're coming into these highly traumatic events. And this is one for our mainstream community to really hear, because it's a very common theme that I've seen within homelessness. When you know you're coming into a highly traumatic event, maybe you're approaching a divorce and you've been going through a couple years of a really rocky marriage, and it's like, okay, it's about to end in divorce. That, you know how traumatic that actually is, especially if you have kids and now there's custody battles and now you have to figure out what to do with the kids. Maybe you're a grandparent and your kids are going through a divorce or going through something traumatic, and now you're dealing with having to take the grandkids. That's trauma. When you know you're going into this, there's so many people in our community that, hey, you go out and, or maybe at home, and you drink socially and it's not an addiction for you. It's not a problem for you. You know what? When you're in these highly traumatic events, give yourself the forethought to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that right now. There's going to come this season where I'm not even going to drink socially. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you get to a point where you begin to self-medicate and it can spiral out of control. Do you know how many people I've seen that with at the mission? They were well-to-do. They had great jobs, great careers. Hey, how could I ever become homeless? And they went through these highly traumatic events, and it was just the fact that drinking socially and trying to deal with the stress and the trauma went into a point where they could not identify the depth of emotion that they were experiencing. And now they began to spiral out of control, and all they could turn to was this self-medicating. And it caused them to lose everything and become homeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that can be not just something like alcohol, but it could even be work.
You could
be turned into a workaholic because that's your escape from the emotions and the things that you can't deal with, because it's not, you don't have the scope, you don't have the bandwidth to even understand what's happening to you.
Yeah.
And so you go off on whatever it may be. It could be work, it could be food, it could be alcohol, it could be anything. Whatever it is that you're using to escape from what you just feel you can't deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, some people turn it becomes a gambling addiction at some point for some people. You know, I mean, it doesn't really matter what it was, like you're saying. There's this trauma, and if you do not begin to reach out to your community, you isolate. You just become extremely introspective. What happens at that point is you start to self-medicate, and it can spiral out of control. And so there's something to say about having this very healthy, very robust community that you can reach out to, and you can tell people, hey, look, man, I'm going through some stuff right now. You know, maybe it's you know, a group of guys, or maybe it's your girlfriends, you know, and just say, hey, look. You know, my wife could say to her girlfriends, hey, I need to go have coffee right now. Like, I just need someone to sit with me and process through this. You know, a group of guys, hey, guys, can we go out and just have some lunch and talk this through? Like, help me through this right now. That is so important. And I can't stress the fact that, you know, I don't care how old you are, you need to have a mentor in your life. You need to have a mentor, like someone you look up to, someone you follow, someone you confide in. Someone you meet with regularly. I mean, it could be a family member. It could be a grandparent. Like, whatever. Everybody needs to have a mentor. You know, Pastor Royal Blue. I mean, he was one of my mentors. And, you know, he passed away at 93 years old. You know, that guy, he had his mentors at 93 years old. His friends that they would call weekly and just say, hey, here's what we're going through together. How do we encourage each other? How do we pray with each other?
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. That's amazing. We have to have these. So, you know, trauma. It's been near and dear to my heart recently because my wife and I just really experienced and went through that. And it gave me a different perspective for the people here that we serve at the mission who have been dealing with so much trauma, but they didn't have community that they could reach out to and help walk them through that. You know, Psalm chapter 23, we all know it. You know, but in that, the psalmist says, hey, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there to comfort me, God. I'll tell you, my community that we have here, they comforted us And I honestly believe it was truly God himself comforting us through the physical presence of everybody, our friends, our family, messages, people sitting with us, people bringing us meals, and just saying, hey, how are you guys doing? And every time it's like, oh, yeah, hey, we're good. We're great. No. No. We just went through some stuff. Yeah, we need you. Thank you for being here. You know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there you are. You comfort me. Man, you, if you're not enduring trauma right now, you know somebody who is, and I need to encourage you. You need to be that person's comforter. You need to reach out to them and say, hey, look, I'm going to be here with you. And honestly, some people might push you off and say, nah, I'm good. I don't need that. Nope, you do. You do. And I'm not going to let you say no. So you know what? Hop in the boat. We're going fishing. Whatever. Well, I don't fish. Oh, well, it ain't about that. It's about us being present together with each other. Don't let your brother, don't let your sister, don't let them endure trauma alone in isolation. When you see someone beginning to pull back and isolate, pull them out of it. Pull them out of it. I mean, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, look, your brother is a burning stick. Snatch him from the fire. Snatch them from the fire.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
That's good. And I think when we look at our guests at the mission who are experiencing homelessness, I think that just being homeless and living on the streets for a time or not having anywhere to go, I think that in itself is a traumatic experience. And when you start to think about and look at people who have been chronically homeless or homeless for a long period of time, it's just ongoing trauma. Yep. Just a very existence and the way they are living is a traumatic experience.
Yep.
And so that's part of the reason why we're so big on community at the mission is because we know that the people that we're serving are going through traumatic events, some more than others, but everyone is experiencing it on some level.
Yep.
And we need to be able to be a community for them, and we need people from our greater community to come down and be that community for those people as well so that we can help walk with them as they're healing from, as they're overcoming the trauma in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, to that point, our whole team at the mission today is enduring the traumatic event of Pastor Dave Honey passing away last night, right? And so we'll do an all staff here, and we'll get together, and we will process that as a family, and we will give ourselves the opportunity to grieve that loss, but then to also celebrate the life and the memories that we've had with this person. And doing that as a team, doing that together, that brings healing. That brings such healing. To have to endure that alone, it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hope that everyone who's listening, they're able to take away from what we're talking about today and really apply it to your own life and look at what's going on. Are there areas in which you are experiencing trauma on some level? And are there emotions and feelings that you're trying to escape from? Or you're just feeling like maybe you want to try to escape from. But be aware of those things. And don't allow those things to isolate you from community. And don't allow those things to pull you to a place where you're not willing to be vulnerable with other people.
Yeah.
And that's so important. So I hope that everyone's listening, you know, you can apply this to yourself. And then when you look at other people, we can hopefully have more compassion with others as well, as we're all experiencing on some level different levels of trauma and what it takes to be there for other people and be there for yourself.
Yeah.
Really.
And I'll say one last thing on that too is, you know, how you personally deal with the trauma. There comes a time where you do need some solitude and you do need some isolation to be able to process what you're going through. And that's the tricky part. That's the balance. And so I'll share this last story. You know, this time last year, we had one of our team members, Bill Hartman, everybody loves Bill. And, you know, he got COVID and he had to go to the hospital. And so he's in the hospital and, you know, we're getting updates on how he's doing. And I remember it was just right before Christmas. My wife and I were up in Oregon at my brother-in-law's house and, you know, the whole family's there. And then I get a text, hey, Bill just passed away. Right now I'm in a crowded home with all of our friends and all of our family. Like my whole community is right here. That's the people I need to be with. And I get this text, Bill just passed away. And I looked at everyone. I said, hey guys, listen, I just had a staff member pass away. I need to be alone. I'm fine, but I need to be alone. And I gave myself as much time as I needed. And I told them that, don't come check on me. Just give me my time. I didn't know how much time that would be, but I went into the room alone and I processed it in absolute solitude, man. I mean, I was in tears and I'm just crying. And I'm like, I can't believe it. Like Bill actually just passed away. This is surreal. And in that moment, I just cry out to God and I just begin to thank God for his life, for who he is. And I think about all of our staff at the mission and all of his family. And I just start to pray for every single person by name on my knees, crying out. And I gave myself the time that I needed to process that. And in my soul, when I felt, okay, I've grieved this enough, I'm good. First thing I did was send an email to all of our staff. And then I went back into my community. I said, okay, guys, it's like 3 hours later. I'm good. I've processed this. I can talk about it now. I don't need to be alone anymore. Make sure I don't go alone. Guide me through this now. There's such a fine balance of giving yourself the time and permission to grieve losses, to grieve some traumatic events. And once you know in your soul, okay, I've grieved this. I'm good. I can talk about it. Then engage back into community and say, okay, make sure I don't go into a place or a depth that I shouldn't be going. Such a fine balance, but it's healthy. It's a healthy process we have to go through.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Well, thank you for joining us for today's podcast. You can find out more information about the Good News Rescue Mission on our website at gnrm.org/podcast. And if you'd like to leave a review on the podcast app you're listening to, go ahead and leave us a review and let us know what you think about the podcast. And if you've got any suggestions or items you would like to talk about or us to talk about and questions you'd like for us to talk about, you can leave reviews or shoot us an email from our website as well. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. To learn more about the Good News Rescue Mission, please visit our website, gnrm.org. Also, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you in the next episode.